Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
We hear so much or different news, bad news, good news, and this and that. And as children of God, some of these things that come to us, we react in a very either positive way or negative way. But the Lord God, according to his word, Philippians 4:6, he said, be careful for nothing. He said, be careful for nothing. But in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So we are not to be worried about what we are hearing. We are to make sure that we pray. Say, pray without ceasing. So you pray and allow God to be God over every single thing that will come on your way. For the past 3 weeks, we have been talking about spirituality. How can you live a spiritual life? And some of the things that we have been saying, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, all the way to chapter 3, verse 3, we talk about the different categories of people that will read the Bible. That the mystery of God will come to them, but it's only one person that can truly understand the mysteries in the Bible. And we said that that man is the one that is called the spiritual man. The natural man cannot receive it. He does not understand it. The carnal man does not receive it and he does not understand it. And then the babe also receive it, but he is not matured enough. He has not grown enough in the faith to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So many things that are coming on our ways, and we say that we are children of God, that we come to church, we are doing spiritual things, but most things are just taking us by surprise, and we wonder our state of our spirituality. Today, we would like to talk about how you can live by the power of the Holy Ghost. How you can live by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the title is Living by the Holy Spirit Power. Living by the Holy Spirit Power. There are three factors in spirituality. When you say you are spiritual, there are three factors. When you say you are spiritual, there are three things that you have to make sure that these things are definitely in your life, and then you start moving accordingly, then you can define yourself as someone that is living here in touch with God and living a spiritual life. These three things, number one is regeneration. The word regeneration simply means you have to be born again. Regeneration means you have to be born again. Number two is the help of the Holy Spirit. You said you are spiritual. We're talking about the three facets or three factors of spirituality. Number one, you have to be born again. Regeneration. Number two, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you need the help of the Holy Spirit. And number three, you need time. Amen? You need time. So these are the three things that we are just going to talk about them quickly, and then we will move on. How can you be living a life over here in this world with the Holy Spirit power? Number one, regeneration. The term regeneration, we said that it means that you have to be born again. It means for you to have salvation or that you have been saved. So what it means is that an unbeliever cannot and simply cannot live a spiritual life. If you are not born again, if you don't know our Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot live a spiritual life, because the first criteria is that you have to be born again. So only believers can develop spiritual life. Only believers can develop spiritual life. So therefore, the first factor in spirituality is salvation. The first factor in spirituality is what? Is salvation. Not much to say about regeneration. Simply means that you have to be born again. Number two, we said the Holy Spirit. So the second factor in spirituality is the Holy Spirit. Spiritual life requires the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual life requires the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He and the Holy Spirit, you know, there is no way that you can do without him. If you want to live a spiritual life, you need the power from the Holy Spirit, which means that if you are going to do it by your own strength, you will fail. It will not work, because the time of the old and then the dispensation of the Old Testament and now the New Testament, things are not the same. The situation has been changed, and God has changed the whole situation. The Lord God has given us the Holy Spirit, something that the people of the Old Testament did not have. So if God has given you something new, that they that fell at the law, it means that the Lord is helping us. And indeed, the Holy Spirit is a helper. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is indeed a wonderful helper. And he is helping us in five different ways. The Holy Spirit is helping us in five different ways. Number one, the Holy Spirit teaches us spiritual truth. So he's a teacher. You want to live a spiritual life? You need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit will do is to teach you the spiritual truth. He said it's the truth that you know that will make you free. So it is important for a child of God that wants to live a spiritual life to be taught by the Holy Spirit to know the truth about this spiritual life. So that is confirmed here in John 16, and the verse is 12 to 15. This is what Jesus said about this man, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Jesus Christ has so many things to tell the disciples, but at that time, they did not have what it takes to understand exactly or to understand all that Christ was going to tell them. So the Lord said that, how be it when he, the Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, which is extremely important. It means that he is not a spirit that is going to lie to you. Whatever that you hear from the Holy Spirit, you can rely on it and live your life accordingly, and the Lord God shall glorify you in whatsoever that he has promised concerning your life. He said, when the Spirit of Truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, into all truth. There is nothing that will be hidden from you. All means all. He will guide you. Whatever that the situation is, if you have received the Holy Spirit in this spiritual life, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. He will guide you into all truth. Not just that, but the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. So he's not doing anything of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come. These things are important. So if truly what you are receiving is of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is speaking the will of the Father and the Son into your life. And he said that not only he will guide you into all truth, but he will also show you the things to come. He will show you the things to come. So in other words, you know, people are very much sensitive to know their future. They are very much sensitive to know the future, the outcome of so many situations that they are in. It's a man's nature to be willing to know what is ahead. That is the reason why the enemy is gaining ground and ground and ground, because, you know, fear comes into their life. Fear comes into their lives, and they are trying to find out, is this man the one that God has given me? Is this woman the one that, is this man not going to turn me down? Is this situation, can I keep my job? This job, I have choices that I have to make. You know, all these things. He said that the Holy Spirit will show you the future of your questions. Hallelujah. What a wonderful man that we have in our lives. He will speak the will of God, because he will take from the Father and the Son and show it unto you and show you the things to come. He said, he shall glorify me. He shall glorify Jesus. He shall glorify Jesus. So when you are working with the Holy Spirit, we thank God. He is bringing the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So in other words, if Jesus Christ has anything for you, the Lord will reveal it to his Spirit. Hallelujah. If Jesus has anything for a child of God, God will channel his word through the Son, and the Son will give it to the Holy Spirit that is in us, and the Spirit of God will talk to your spirit. You don't know how you know it, but you just know that you know it. It's given by the Spirit of God. He said that in verse 15 of John 16, he said, all things that the Father had are mine. Jesus said it. All things that the Father had are mine. Therefore, I said that the Holy Spirit, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You see, some people are confused about the Trinity, and they don't know exactly how to relate. Are we worshiping the Father? Are we worshiping the Son? Are we worshiping the Holy Spirit? But the Trinity is not confused. The work of the Trinity is extremely clear. Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine. So as the Father says, it comes to the Son, and Son delivered to the Holy Spirit. The Lord God is always sending, he's always working with two things. Number one, God will release his Spirit into the field. Remember Genesis 1:1? He said that the beginning there was nothing. The whole earth was completely in darkness and void. And the Lord sent forth his Spirit on the land. And God said, so two things. The Lord will always release his Spirit, and then the word of God. And then the word of God. So the Father released his word unto the Son. The Son sent forth the word to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will just talk to your spirit to know the perfect will of the Father. Hallelujah. Trinity is not confused. When we are praying, we are praying to God the Father in the name of the Son by the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Clear. There is no confusion here. There is no confusion here. So we worship our God, and we worship him in truth. We said that number one thing that the Holy Spirit does is to teach us all spiritual truth. And we have backed it up with the scriptures. Number two, the second thing that the Holy Spirit is involved is guiding us. Guiding us. We say we want to live a spiritual life. How would you know where you have to go? How would you know what choice you have to make? This is also the work of the Holy Spirit. No, we are not going to go back again, because we said that the will of the Father is released to the Son, and the Son give it to the Holy Spirit, and he tells you. So if you are confronted with any situation that you want to know which way I should go, oh Lord, by the time that you have prayed, the Lord God had already answered by giving to his Spirit a word for you or a guidance through your life, and you have to listen and obey what the Spirit of God has for your life. So here, Romans chapter 8 and the verses 14, to empower this, he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Clear. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of God. If you are leading yourself, check yourself out. If you are being led by friends, check yourself out. If you are being led by what you have heard, check yourself out. Because if it is not said by the Holy Spirit, please, you can be misled. If it is not coming from the Holy Spirit, you must miss, you know, you are going to miss the will of God. You are going to miss the will of God. The man will lead you into the perfect will of God. And that is why you are called the daughter of God and the sons of Almighty God. They that are, say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Number three, we say he is involved in five things. So the third thing that Holy Spirit is involved in is that he gives us the assurance of our salvation. How would you know that you are saved? The Holy Spirit has that ministry in our lives. If you are doing the wrong thing, you know you are doing the wrong thing, because the Spirit will prompt you. When you are getting yourself into the situation, you say that, oh, what is God's will about this situation? The Lord will prompt you by his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Wonderful things that the Lord God had impacted in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16 says that, he said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That is how we know that we are saved. If you are a child of God and not a child of the world, most likely where Jesus is, that's where you will be. And it is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit bear witness within ourselves that indeed we are the children of God. So one way or another, your lifestyle, what you say you are a child of God, and the way that you live and the things that you do, and the Spirit is also bearing witness with what you are doing. So, you know, in other words, a man that is living and, you know, lying to himself that he is a child of God, when your deeds and the Holy Spirit is prompting you, and you know within yourself that what you are doing, that's God, the Spirit of the Lord is saying that it is wrong, but you continue doing it because the situation is more, you know, favorable onto your side, more adequate to your situation, more important for you. That is your choice, but God says that that is not right, the right way to go. We have so many have just, they hear the word of the Lord clearly. The Spirit of the Lord prompts them. He said, take this way. But this way, they know that. They calculate these things with their mind and say, no, that's not the way. Let me take this way because that is what I think is right thing to do as of now. And they have gone against the will of the living God. The inner witness, there is no doubt about it. The Holy Spirit will bear witness that you are or you are not a child of God. Number four thing that the Holy Spirit is involved in is that the Holy Spirit is praying for us. We are talking about the five factors in our spirituality. The Holy Spirit is also praying for us. Romans 8:26 and 27, he said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he pray for the saints according to the will of God. This is very, you know, comforting, because number one, the Father said, my will, I put it in my Son to speak to you. The Son said, when I receive from the Father, I release it into the Holy Spirit that is in you. And the Holy Spirit said, when I receive from Jesus, I let you know, I will let you know, I will guide you, I will speak to you, I will show you. So the man is involved in our daily lives, in everything that we are doing. But all these are confirmed by what we just said here. He said that the Holy Spirit, the reason why the Holy Spirit is praying for you, you might just with your own carnality thinking that this is the right way to go, and you stand there and you are making decisions that are go against God's will. So as you are praying for the car, the Holy Spirit is praying for that car not to come. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows that the will of the Father is not for you to have that car at that time. But maybe he wants you to ride that bicycle because you are not ready for the road yet. So he wants you to just pass through the city, little corners, you know, so that by the time that the Lord will take you to the highway, he had already prayed enough and finished everything that concerns you. By the time that the car will come, Satan cannot use that car to crush your life. The Holy Spirit is praying and praying the will of God for your life. He's praying for us. Such a powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the last thing that the Holy Spirit does in our lives is that he is also giving a spiritual, you know, spiritual gift for our spiritual growth in the local body of Christ. So as you start slowly with him, he's just going to increase you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is giving spiritual gifts. He's gifting us so that we can edify the body of Christ in your local church, as slowly you are praying, you are doing the things of God, the Lord is increasing you. The Lord is increasing you by giving you what you will need to become a blessing to others. By giving you, he said he will show you the things to come. So initial stages are like, you know, slowly you are working with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God is helping you. But the next thing you know, God is calling you onto a higher level as you continue gradually. The next thing you know, the Spirit of the Lord has gifted you with the power to heal people, power to prophesy in your life, power to bring forth tongues and interpretation. These are all part of the gift that, you know, so what they see today that you are not, please let them watch at the corner. You are still working with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord will lift you at a height that they will never ever understand. He said, is it not the one that we started with? Yes, he's the one that you started with. But he's the one that had a spiritual understanding and was very humble and slowly walking with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God is taking him from one degree of glory to another. The next thing you know, the Lord God, you are flying with our Lord Jesus Christ. Power. Power. Spiritual life is not some kind of you have to come and stand there and fake things. All that we have said here, they are all our daily things. What we do every single day. You cannot come around and deceive nobody. You can't come around and deceive nobody because number three factor that we said number one, the three factors of spirituality is that number one, generation, number two, the Holy Spirit, and number three, time. 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 The time factor is important. You have to be born again. Once you are born again, you have to be taught. And once you are taught, the Spirit of God is going to grow you by filling you with spiritual gifts. It takes time for that. This is the reason why time is the third factor in our spirituality. So it doesn't take just a day to become a spiritual man. If you want to be someone that will walk divinely with Almighty God, it will take time. Just as a child is born and it takes time for that child to grow, so it is. When we come to know the Lord, we are born as babes. You're going to need milk, and from your milk, you will need the meat of the Word of God. And as you receive the meat of the Word of God, the Lord is waking you. And the next thing you know, that you have become a strong man, spiritual man, someone that can discern spiritual things and have understanding about the spiritual things. He is not quick to open his mouth and speak, because as he is prompted by the Spirit, so he speaks. Praise the Lord. So now we can see how important the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Jesus made a statement in John 15:5. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Now we understand why without him, we can do nothing. This whole picture that we have painted this afternoon, you can see that without Jesus, you can do nothing. The Father has a will. It's imparted in the Son. And the Son releases it to the Holy Spirit that the Son has given you. He told the disciples, he said, I have so many things to tell you, but you cannot understand it now until the Holy Spirit has been released. And Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And today, we are just, you know, indeed, children of God by the filling of the Holy Spirit. The people of the Old Testament, they struggle a lot. They struggle a lot, but their struggles were, they needed to be learned. They needed to learn from what God was trying to teach them. Why the Lord abolished the law of Moses and brought in the law in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2 said, for the Spirit of the law in Christ Jesus had made me free from the spirit, you know, from the law of sin and death. So there is a new covenant that has been given to us. But the law was, you know, given so that it will lead people into the truth of the word of God, into the truth about who this God is. Galatians chapter 3 and the verses 23 to 25. The words say, he said, before faith came. What does it mean, before faith came? It means before Jesus Christ came. Before Jesus came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which was afterwards be revealed. So the faith has always been there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and all these people. You know, especially the generation of the law, these people, they did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But you and I, we have it. They had the law. And what was the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law was that, he said, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might justify, so we might be justified by faith. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But faith, before faith came, people were under the law. But the faith was kept under. So it was shut up. They had no access to it. Because we are talking about the faith of the one that is going to be revealed. So the law was meant to reveal Jesus Christ. The law was a schoolmaster to bring these people to Christ. That was the purpose of the law. And it is very true. I love the word schoolmaster. When you started, the purpose of the schoolmaster is to bring you to a level that you graduate so that you can move on. You can move on. And that is exactly what the Lord God has done for us. We might be justified by faith. But that, he said, after that faith is come. So after Jesus Christ, we are no longer under schoolmaster. We are no longer under the law. We are now under the law in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is very, very good. It's very good. So the law itself is fulfilled in only one word. The law itself is only fulfilled in just, you know, a word. Galatians 5 and the verses 14 to 18. The word says, he said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So right here we can see that the law, someone that is under the law, it is, you know, a few characteristics that will be coming out, because according to this word here, he said the purpose of the law was to teach people that they should and they must love their neighbors as themselves. The purpose of the law, the schoolmaster, was to bring us to Christ. And the summary of all is that you must love your neighbor as yourself. So someone that is not loving the neighbor as himself, you are still under the law. You are still under the law. And it is extremely dangerous to be under the law. You know, the reason is here. He said, Philippians chapter 3 and the verses 3, he said, for we are the circumcision, we children of God, bearing witness by the Holy Spirit that indeed we are the sons of God. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. This scripture is important. We said it, that the law is not something that is extremely good for us, but God brought it forth. It was meant to teach the people under the law that they should come to a higher level of love, that they should not be centered on themselves, but they should take also the other people into consideration, that they should not start living a life where they are eating one another, because of their deeds, but they should live a life that is slowly, as they are being taught, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. So to bring them to a level, to teach them that your neighbor's life is as important as your life. Your neighbor's daughter, she is as important as your own daughter. Your neighbor's, you know, behavior, lifestyle, and all that is as important as your own lifestyle. So when we stand there and you say that, oh, that is his business. It's not that is, that's not how God sees it. The Lord sees our neighbors. He said we should consider them as ourselves. You know, the word neighbor, we are only thinking that the one that we have next door. It's not like that. It's not like that. The neighbor is anyone that is outside you. So starting from your own home, your wife, your children, all that. And then it goes beyond that. So because some of these things we said, neighbor, oh, I'm ready to do it for my wife. But when it comes to my wife, parents, my wife, sister, my wife, et cetera, okay, I don't have any problem with my husband. But when it comes to my husband, brothers, and no. These things should not be considered, but it has to be operated by the Spirit of God. The rules and the regulations in Christ Jesus. What the Lord says you should be doing, that is what you have to do. We have come to a marriage, and the marriage is the covenant of the living God. So there is a manward part, and there is a womanward part. Everyone has his share. But one thing that is sure, the Lord has brought both of us. You left your parents' house. I left my parents' house. God brought us together to be one flesh for this covenant of God. So when we have left our parents and now we are one, our brothers and sisters cannot be the issue of our divorce. So we have to know how to relate to these families. But at the same time, we are godly people. The Lord said that we should learn to take their situation also into consideration. So you want to make sure that you sit around the table and counsel yourself together and make the decisions together so that we don't eat ourselves. So you go beyond this, you are going to backbite each other, and the next thing you know, you are writing a paper of divorcement that God is against it. The law had its time. The law of Moses had its time, and God has given us a higher level of guidance by giving us the Holy Spirit. So Galatians 5:25-26, he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live by the Holy Spirit, then let also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. This is very important. If indeed you are a child of God, he said that you live by the Spirit of God. We said it. And if you are living by the Spirit of God, then you have to walk by the Spirit of God. And if you walk by the Spirit of God, your desires are not vain glory. In other words, you are not trying to achieve things or do things for the sight of others, vain glory, things that are not going to bring any glory to God. But everything might just be centered right around you. Right around you. Provoking one another. You don't care. Envying one another. This is not someone that is living and walking by the Spirit of God. So living and walking by the Spirit of God requires you to subdue anything that is going to bring you to provocation. Anything that is going to bring you to provoke others, to envy others. These things, they are all the works of the flesh. The Lord said that if you are going to live a spiritual life, the message of today, we are trying to understand how we can live by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are born again, that is not a problem. The Spirit of God is in you. And if the Spirit of God is in you, you walk. You living by the Spirit of God, you walk by the Spirit of God. And if you are walking by the Spirit of God, you have to subdue the works of the flesh. Philippians 3 and the verses 3, he said, You know, as we talk about later on, he said that we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. We are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. We are the born again children that worship God in the spirit, not in carnality, not in the flesh. So everything that is of the flesh has to be taken away, because there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And I was so glad that the Galatians 5, 16 to 18, the word says this. He said, I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. With all that we have said about the five things that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, it is better for a child of God to allow the Holy Spirit to guide your lives. If the Holy Spirit is guiding your life, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature, the flesh, craves. If you are being guided by the Holy Spirit, you will not be doing the desires of the flesh. That is the sinful nature. That Adamic nature that we got when we were born to the physical world. But now that you are born into Christ, these old things, they are passed away. The new things that the Lord God has given you, the Holy Spirit, should help you to get rid one by one. How would you know that you are living a spiritual life? How would you know you are spiritual? It's, you know, in my sense, according to all the scriptures that we have been reading, a man has to be living and be conscious about every single thing that is happening in his life, his character, his behavior, anything that concerns you, and slowly compare these things by the word of God and see that what is not of God, slowly asking the Holy Spirit to help you and get rid of these things one by one. One by one. By the time that the Lord will call you home, so many things that the Holy Spirit has helped you, that Adamic nature, the desires of the flesh and all that, you are conscious about it. He said, you know, like someone that is, you know, a new year is beginning and we are making new resolutions. He said that this new year, I'm going to work out. So you go, you run quickly to LA Fitness and you are just going to subscribe. That is going to be my membership. Once I pay these people money and I know that they will not let me go until my contract is over, I can go, but I will still pay that money. So let me be committed. So the same way you commit yourself into the things of God and say that, you know what? I know. My husband keep telling me that this anger is not helping us. Lord, I need help by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God bring things to your remembrance. Bring things to your guidance. Guide you. Give me the strength to go about this. Give me the word to say so that my husband will not say something that is going to get me angry. Please grant me the opportunity to humble myself in this situation so that I may not sin against my God. This is the vow that I made before this God, and I want to stick with it. That is how a man slowly will get to a point that he is living a spiritual life and not doing what the sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit of God wants. We are reading Galatians 5, verse 17 says, he said, the sinful nature, that is the flesh, he wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. The Holy Spirit gives us the desire he gives us the desire that is complete opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So these are the two forces that are constantly fighting each other. The fight is meant so that you will not be free to carry out the good intentions that God has purposed for your life. But when you are being directed by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. You are not under the law. You are under the law of Christ, not under the law of Moses. When a man is under the law of Moses, the schoolmaster thing that we were talking about, it is not very good, because Romans 6:14, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. That is faith. If you are under grace, you know it by the fact that sin is not having dominion over you. Backbiting and biting others and all that, you know that you have not come to grace yet. So, we question your spirituality. It's like a man that will come and stand here at the pulpit. A woman that will come and take part of spiritual activities in this ministry. And you get home. You don't know how to talk to your husband. You don't know how to relate to colleagues. You don't know. You know, everything is centered just around you. Only you and you alone. Something is definitely wrong. This is what we are talking about. He said that this flesh, if you don't subdue the flesh, you'll be in trouble. Because automatically, a man is already at battle himself. This is the reason why you see some of them. You greet them in the morning. Good morning, sir. They look at you and then they turn their head. Sister, good morning. Because they are already going through their own battles. He said the flesh is fighting the spirit. The flesh is fighting. The spirit is willing to do good, but the flesh has its own desires. These are the situations that we are seeing every single day. We cannot come to God's will because what we see, and we are putting pressure upon our wives or putting pressure on our husbands, putting pressure upon the entire family, but the family is not there yet. The sinful desire of the flesh, simply because when we come together gathering, you look at the type of car that this family is driving. You want your family at all cost to have the same thing. But the Lord said that you are not there yet. He will take you beyond that situation. But you are not there yet. You are not yet. This has been the problem of many broken relationships. Children are astray because we could not fulfill their demands. At that time, you can't wait. Comparison. It is not helping us. You want to be spiritual? It goes all along. Cannot come and stand here preaching to people when your home is on fire. The church starts from home. The church, it starts from home. So, when we say, we talk about spiritual man, spiritual woman, it is seen in your behavior, your attitude, your daily lives. This is what we are talking about. It's not you coming and standing there and praise the Lord and waiting and anointed me. Hey, let me tell you, you might pray and the heavens may be open. That heavens is not opened by God. It's not opened by God. The foundation is polluted. What can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? So no faking things. Nobody is faking nothing. The word is very clear. You want to move on a higher level of spirituality with God? Please put these things aside. Put these things aside. Work your own salvation. The Lord has saved you. You are now saved. Born again. Holy Spirit is given so that you overcome these things. And he's there to help you. They are already in contention, fighting. Who do you think will win this battle? Who can fight against God and win? When the man is willing to truly come up. Lord, I know that my marriage is under contention. Father, I know that the enemy is attacking my children. Father, I know that my work is going through persecutions. I need your help. And I'm praying. The Holy Spirit is already praying for you. It's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit for your life. Why do you think you will not win this battle? You will win it in the name of Jesus. You will. God is already on your side and fighting this battle for you and has called you onto a higher height. It shall be well with you. It shall be well. So this is the reality of a child of God, the ongoing battle. You have to fight it. You have to be conscious about it. And fight that battle, and the Lord will see you through. There are certain things that God said that when we do them, we will not inherit his kingdom. We will not inherit his kingdom. But at the end of it all, you keep driving from so far, all these spiritual activities that we are doing in this ministry, night prayers, commitment, finances, and everything else. And you come to a point to stand before the gate and Jesus saying that he doesn't know you. He does not know you. What a deception time that you have just gone through. That would be very devastating. All these years that you spend in this world here, and you thought that you knew God, and by the day that you stand before the Lord is closing the door at your face. These are some of the things that he said we shouldn't be doing them. Otherwise, he will close the door before us. Galatians chapter 5, and the verse is 15 to 21. We talk about this and we stop just right here. Today we are seeing ourselves, looking at the mirror of our Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, and seeing every single filthiness in our faces, recognize it in humility and asking God for help. That's what we are doing today. Living by the power of the Holy Ghost. In other words, you can live, you cannot live by your own power. You live by your own power, you are going to fall. But if you live by the power of the Holy Ghost, you will make it where Jesus is. Galatians 5 and the verses 19 to 21. The word says in the Message version, he said, it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. And we have people like that. If things are not going their ways, nothing is right. It can never be right until it goes their ways. If you are living, you are a child of God, and you have that type of attitude, I question your spirituality. You are not living by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are already astray. You can't live that life, and things has to go your own way all the time. These are the people, they will repeat themselves, repeating. So they have the stories. They have not moved. What happened years ago? They keep it. Hatred has built in them. Every single time. Now that the Lord God has moved both of you on, and the Lord has put you in a covenant, forgive each other and move on. Why is it that every time that there's a little difficulty in the family, you are bringing this thing up over and over and over and over and over and over? You are destroying your marriage. Repeating the same stories. The same thing. It has to go your own way all the time. They are loveless. Someone that is loveless is someone that does not have love. They don't have love. Everything is around them. Matter of fact, we even question if they love themselves. They are loveless. These things, loveless attitude. There is a situation, he said, cheap sex. Cheap sex. Things have to go their own way all the time. He said, cheap sex, that is sexual immorality. People that are moving around having cheap sex, you are not going to the kingdom of God. Sexual immorality. And it goes from every single level. When you are married, you are married. When you are not married, the word requires you to keep yourself so that the Lord will bring forth your husband and your wife properly. Cheap sex. And people see you as a cheap. And you come to church every single Sunday, standing on a high hill for everybody to see you. But out there, they know the type of lifestyle that you are living. Cheap. Cheap. The reason is because you cannot trust your God. So every single need of yours, since you cannot fulfill it yourself, you are finding ways for someone to provide it unto you. Today you are here. Tomorrow you are there. You are sitting in BMW. You are sitting in this one. You are sitting in that one. So anything goes cheap. Your life is cheap. Your sex is cheap. Everything is cheap about you. God said you will not make it. You will not make it. The church is not seeing you that way. But let me tell you, there is nothing that you will do that will be hidden from the world. They know you. They know you. That is why they don't even respect your spirituality, because they say, oh, this one, he goes to church and say that he's a man of God. Look at the things that he does. Sexual immorality. He said, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. That is impurity. Stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. So we have people that collect unnecessary things, fill themselves with those things. It's not every news that you should take and keep it. It's not every website that you have to be open, those things. It's not every page that pops on your website that you have to go click and go there. You have accumulated these things. And you know, he said that these are garbage, impurity. You are simply impure before the Lord because of the things that you have collected. Emotionally, diverse. You want to hear every single thing about everybody. You have to have a record of negativity concerning everyone so that when someone wrong you, you will have something to tell that person. Hey, I know you. Are you not the one that garbage? The Lord said it's a garbage. It's a garbage. We have they that are also having the attitude of frenzied and joyless grasps for happiness. That is lustful pleasures. Let me say that word again. He said frenzied. They're not very, and joyless. You see them, it's like they are in contention with everybody. They never seem to be happy. Never seem to be happy under no condition. The whole world is falling upon them. They can't see anything. And they are angry within themselves. Joyless. No joy. Nothing. You cannot be spiritual and having that type of attitude, because then what is it that Christ has done for you? What is it? He said he translated us from darkness into the light. When you were in darkness, you couldn't see much. Now you are in the light. So release your face and let people see your beauty. Remove the filthiness in your heart that is keeping you to frenz your face. You are praying for God to bring you a husband. You are moving around. You make your face like, how would they come? Some of them cannot trust their God. And the Bible calls them trinket gods. That is idolatry. Magic showing religion. That is sorcery. Magic showing religion. That is sorcery. Paranoid loneliness. That is hostility. Paranoid. They are lonely and they are paranoid. Only God knows what is going through their minds. They have conceived a whole world within themselves. And they are just paranoid about everything. And they are lonely. There is nothing that is okay. Every single door that you open, hey, this door that you just opened, what I see, that might not be it. They have something about everything. A whole world that is conceived in their mind. Paranoid. And they are lonely. So are the result of that, no association. Nothing. You have to trust your God that your Lord will protect you. You have to trust your God that God will see you through. You have to trust your God that the Lord will help you in any form of deception. You don't have to be paranoid about everything and about everybody. They don't even want to come out from their own houses. And some of them quarreling. They quarrel. What you say to them that is not a big deal, it will turn to something else. It will turn to be something else. These things are the works of the flesh. The battle, the ongoing battle that is between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. So we said that the flesh desire evils. Everything will turn into arguments. If you are a husband and then your wife has brought the soup and there is, I have always been saying these things, not enough salt. That would be the reason why for you to insult your wife for what? It's not necessary. Unnecessary quarrel. Unnecessary. There is one word here. He says that we have the type that is also, they are all consuming, yet never satisfy wants. These are, it's called jealousy. All consuming, yet never satisfied wants. They want this, they want this, they want this. They consume everything that they want to the extent that if someone has something, they have a problem with it because they don't have it, so they want to have it. You are not supposed to have it. Jealousy! Call them all consuming, yet never satisfied wants. Praise the Lord. We have they that are brutal temper. That is outburst of anger. Brutal temper. Brutal temper. They are already burning inside before you open your mouth. You marry a wife that when you see the woman, you are angry. What's wrong with you? So anything, hey! The house is always on fire. The house is all, you have become the dictator in that house. Your children and wife, all of them are. So, no, it's not from God. You are the head of the family. The Bible is teaching us the right way to bring them all before the Lord. I am the man of this house. And nobody said that you are not the man of the house. It is not what you say that goes. It is what God says that goes. This, the man of the house, will let the heaven be closed over your life. Don't do it. You need to also sit down and reason with the family. And making sure that, you know, I have always been saying that why God will bring two people together so that you will have a better picture of the whole situation. A man can only see one side. Now you are two. Okay, let your wife also see the other side of the situation. You have to take your wife's view into consideration. It might not be right, it might be right. Your husband's view might not be right, it might be right. But let's sit down and talk about it before we decide. There's no need to break in such, you know, anger. So we have they that are also, the Bible called them, that he said, impotence to love or be loved. This is called self-ambition. Impotence to love or be loved. If you love them, it's a problem. If you don't love them, it's a problem. Hallelujah. If you love them, it's a problem. If you don't love them, it's a problem. You are to love your wives and to love your husbands. Hallelujah. Some of them, when you express love, I see. Hey, you never said this thing to me. Well, how come? Maybe you have started seeing somebody. But the man is genuine. He came to church today and he heard the word of God. He said that today when I go home, hey, I will make sure that I apply this word in my life. The moment you get there. Honey. Since when you started wanting me? Since when? Battle. You cannot love them and they cannot be loved. They are always angry within themselves. You cannot come here and say that you are spiritual. And if it's not this book of the Bible, I will have divorced you a long time ago. May the Lord forgive you when you say such a thing. May the Lord forgive you. If you can use the Bible to pray over that marriage for the Lord to put, you know, he said, the water, it is bitter. God said, take that leaf, put it in the water. It becomes sweet and people started drinking it. Maybe no more wine. Let the Holy Spirit intoxicate you with the love from the living God. You will see your husband. You know, there's no, if you are, you come to a marriage and you are coming with your own interest, you are going to be miserable. You see a man, you love the man because of the man's money, because of the material things, you're going to be miserable. You'll be miserable. That is why you wake up in the morning, look at yourself and say, hey, what is it? It is only now that you have come to know that you make the wrong choice. It's a problem here. But this morning we were talking about these things. He said, there is nothing that the Lord God cannot do. Only acknowledge your mistakes and allow God to come in and help you out. You will be out. We are talking about how to live with the Holy Ghost power, spiritual life. So, we have people that are also moving around, and all that they do, they divide homes and they divide lives. They divide homes and they divide lives. Please, you cannot be spiritual when you have become the object of somebody's home being destroyed. You can't. God is not author of confusion. So don't go and say, God said, and bring in all kinds of contention in the family. Don't do that. What the Lord has not said, don't say that God has said it. You are in the same church, you are hearing the word of God that is preached to you. A sister is going through a situation and seeing you as a sister that can counsel her. What do you say? You are saying things that is going to break her marriage. Please, stay away from these things. You need to give her godly counsel. Bring God in and tell the person that it is well. The Lord will take control. We are bringing everything to an end. Unvenous, uncontrolled addictions. There is a word that he said here. He said that wild parties. Wild parties. Parties that go on beyond parties. Some of them, if they are not going to the party, you know, so you met your wife at the party. The marriage is now moving on. A time comes, things has gone beyond everything. And if you are not going back to the party, you're having a problem. Things that are not glorifying God, these things, you have to put them aside. So today, we have received just fractions of things that the Lord said, if we do these things, we will not inherit his kingdom. Living with the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's allow the Spirit of God to take hold of our lives and start seeing everything from God's perspective. And I know that the Lord will open the door greatly unto us. May the Lord God bless you.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.